Have you ever seen a really bad series finale or read a book that you were really enjoying up until the ending? And it's like, you devoted so much energy to this work, you cared about what happened to the characters, and then they just completely ruined it? Well, then you can perhaps understand why 1.6 million people signed a petition for Game of Thrones to remake their final season. Of course, they're not going to remake Game of Thrones, but that desire to take a work of fiction you love, keep the characters, and just change some things up about it in a way that you prefer is that same desire driving a lot of people to write fan fiction. The primary difference, of course, between signing a remake Game of Thrones petition and just writing a fan fiction where you kind of remake it yourself is just whose hands you're placing the power to change things up into. I mean, it's easy to say, this isn't perfect and I want to see it changed. But taking the time to exercise that creativity yourself, even if those changes aren't technically legitimate, can definitely be inherently rewarding, especially when you do so in a community of like-minded people. Generally speaking, fan fiction is a fairly broad term that could theoretically apply to a variety of works. The definition, at least according to Wikipedia, is a work of fiction based on characters or settings originating in another work created by fans of the original work rather than its creator. This can cover a lot of stuff, and some of it is fairly obvious. You've written a story about you and all your friends entering the Hunger Games? That's fan fiction. Someone writes about Captain America and Iron Man falling in love? Fan fiction. An epic musical tale detailing Godzilla's fight with Robocop? That's fan fiction, baby. That being said, there's definitely some gray area regarding the whole subject. And there's also a noticeable disconnect between the technical definition of fan fiction and what we tend to actually label as fan fiction. Like, Romeo and Juliet is, in fact, not an original creation of Shakespeare's. Rather, he based his play on an Italian poem called The Tragical History of Romeo and Juliet, written 35 years earlier. In the original, way more people die, including the nurse. Shakespeare, a fan of the original poem, published what was essentially his own version of the story with a changed ending that he preferred. Still, we wouldn't label any Shakespeare works as fan fiction. Or let's look at Neil Gaiman. By all accounts, a very successful author who has written a lot of good stuff. His short story, A Study in Emerald, draws heavy inspiration from both Sherlock Holmes and Lovecraftian horror. He himself described what he created as fan fiction. But because Neil Gaiman is an acclaimed author and not a teenage girl, many people wouldn't be quick to associate his work with the idea of fan fiction. In fact, people get upset on Twitter and co. if you talk about Neil Gaiman's writing as fan fiction. That's largely because when we sit down and think about the types of works we've traditionally associated with the term fan fiction, a few commonalities stand out. Primarily, people tend to associate the practice with young women. There is in fact evidence to support this. A 2010 survey of fanfiction.net found that just under 80% of the user base was female, and that most were young adults. Keep in mind, this survey is several years old. But the perception that many fanfiction authors are indeed young women isn't baseless. This matters largely because when we think about things associated with teenage girls, they also tend to be very quickly associated with frivolity. Oftentimes, even the phrase teenage girls makes us think of things that are silly and thoughtless, and oftentimes fans of works that teenage girls also like try to distance those works from that image in order to be taken seriously. So, for instance, when we're looking at fan bases, the first real instance of widespread fanfiction as we know it today came from Star Trek and was a fanzine called Spockanalia. In 1967, right as season 2 of Star Trek was airing, the first edition was published and distributed by two women named Devra and Cherna. This was really the origin of the Star Trek fandom as we know it today, and by all accounts, most of the people driving this were young women. The reason this is interesting, though, is that the stereotypical image of a Star Trek fan for many people is a guy in his mid-20s who can spout off statistics about all the fictional races at the drop of a hat. The reason I'm bringing this up at all is because the practice...